All right, thank you for that Kathy Brown original. It's a gift that I don't have to put together music like that. Incredible things take place when God touches a person, when God heals a person. For some, it involves a physical healing. For some, it involves a spiritual healing. And the account that we're going to be looking at this morning as we continue the sermon series from John's Gospel, we're going to find that Jesus heals an individual both physically and spiritually. Now, how exciting is that? The text today is John chapter 9, and I've entitled the message, "This is a Marvelous Thing." This is a marvelous thing. Watch for the phrase. It'll be later on in the scripture. I'm actually dividing the scripture passage in three parts this morning as we look at this, just sort of allowing the story or the narrative to be the outline for us today. But it was a marvelous thing for this person that got healed. And we're going to see that healing physically and spiritually. So as we look at verses 1 to 12 to start with, we're in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 12, we discover that a blind man received sight. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who had previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." And then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Now, probably quite a few of us here this morning have had some issues related to the eye or our eyes. For quite a few years, I made use of readers, you know, buying those cheapies at the drugstore, at the dollar store, or whatever. Well, I think I started out with perhaps 1.0 or 1.5, or then went to 1.75, and then to 2.0, and then to 2.25, and then to 2.5, and then I had to take another step because it wasn't just necessary anymore for reading, and so I ended up getting bifocals about a year ago. But I know for some of you, it's been dealing with things like floaters and flashing lights and cloudy vision and cataract surgery and, for some people, injections in the eye. Now imagine what it would have been like to have not had eyesight. Well, Fanny Crosby, for example, she lost her eyesight. She could see when she was born, but she lost her eyesight at about 6 weeks old and lived the rest of her life without that which many of us, most of us, take for granted, don't we? And wow, just incredible how the Lord used her in writing literally thousands and thousands of hymns, many that we sing today. The fellow, though, in the scripture we're looking at this morning, didn't have declining eyesight. It wasn't macular degeneration for him or anything else of that sort. He didn't go blind along the way. He was born blind. Now, when a child is born with some kind of disability, it often raises questions. And there was a question that was asked here, asked of Jesus, recorded in verse 2. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What did Jesus say? Well, the assumption was that someone's wrongdoing must have been the reason or the cause of the disability. And sometimes there is a cause and effect. For example, a crack baby is dealing with the effects of the crack cocaine usage of the mother. So there was a cause and effect thing going on there. But Jesus said something very significant in the response to the question that was raised here by the disciples. He said in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God would be revealed in him. It wasn't a matter of human beings somehow doing something or not doing something that brought on this, quote, disability. But it was a matter of God choosing to demonstrate his power and his glory through a work of healing. Now, there are a couple things that you and I would do well to keep in mind as we ponder this story this morning. First of all, every child, every baby, every child, regardless of their ability or their disability, is worthy of being loved and cherished and received and nurtured and cared for. In Exodus chapter 4, we have the Lord making a statement that was directed to Moses when he was struggling with something. He was struggling with feelings of inferiority regarding the assignment that God was tapping him for. Moses wasn't sure that he had the speaking ability that was needed for this leadership task that he was being called to. But notice what God said in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. This is in response to Moses. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? One of the saddest trends in our day is the movement in some countries to think it best not to bring into the world a child that they realize is going to have some type of disability. That is a growing trend, and it is something that you and I need to be guarded in regards to. We must not get on that kind of slippery slope. You and I ought to embrace and welcome persons that have special needs. We ought to embrace them and welcome them into the world, and we ought to welcome them into the church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we should be content with what brings the most glory to God. Now, it's interesting, is it not, that the Lord had a plan all along for this man who was born, this child that was born blind. Who would have thought that Jesus would demonstrate his mighty power the way that he did? But giving sight to the blind was exactly what it was a manifestation of God's glory and of his power. It proved to a watching world that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the I Am. The light of the world, he had said. In John chapter 11, we read about something similar. Mary and Martha came to Jesus and they were greatly concerned. What was their concern? They were concerned about their brother Lazarus, who had taken ill. In verse 4 of that chapter, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, what was God up to there? Well, what was a part of his plan for Lazarus? A lot of things, but at this point it involves sickness and death. Why? That Jesus might manifest his glory by raising him from the dead. And by so doing, that he might validate his claim to be the resurrection and the life. Don't you think that caught some people's attention and helped them to realize that Jesus was more than just a teacher or a prophet? So Jesus gave the blind man his sight. Now, as we continue the story by picking up in verse 13 through 29, we see that this healing evoked controversy. It evoked controversy. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him who, because he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He can speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone had agreed that anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see." And then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." Well, you'd think, wouldn't you, that everybody would be absolutely ecstatic at what had just taken place. But that was not the case. The entire situation evoked controversy. The one controversy had to do with the fact that a healing was done on the Sabbath. There was, in fact, the making of clay. There was, in fact, the application of that clay, the anointing of the fellow. And there was then, yes, the washing in the pool. And so that would have violated Sabbath laws. Some of the Pharisees were making wrong assumptions, however, regarding what had taken place. They were assuming that Jesus was not divine, given the healing. Some said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." And others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" Jesus, however, was divine. And it's not that he was necessarily doing away with the Sabbath at this point, but rather he was exercising lordship over the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, we read about some of the disciples at one point being hungry and plucking grain, heads of grain, on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees complained about that, saying that it was not lawful to do so. And in verses 27 and 28, Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Now, this is outside of the scope of what we're talking about this morning, and so it'll have to wait for another day. But I would encourage us to note, though, that this pattern of one day out of seven that was from creation and then on throughout a matter of worship and rest was intended for and is for our benefit. It wasn't a thing that was done for God. It was for man's benefit. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now, Jesus was Lord. Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath, and he exercised his lordship when he healed the blind man. The second controversy had to do then with Jews not believing that a healing had actually taken place. Some of them were maintaining that it was fake news. They were, according to verse 18, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight." So, what did mom and dad have to say? Well, they assured the Jews, "Yeah, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind. Fact. But they said to ask him about his healing because, after all, they said, he is of age and he can speak for himself. This young adult had already explained it all to the Pharisees. So he didn't go over the clay application and the washing part again, but according to verse 25, he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Yeah. So a blind man receives sight. The healing created controversy. The rest of the story is found in the rest of the chapter. I'm actually going to pick up with verse 28 again and on through 41. But in this passage, we're going to see how this man that was healed ended up giving testimony unto that very thing, testimony unto the Lord. So here we are, verse 28. "Then they reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that fellow spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from.' The man answered and said to them, 'Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who is born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing.' They answered and said to him, 'You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?' And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said to him, 'Do you believe in the Son of God?' He answered and said, 'Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?' And Jesus said to him, 'You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you.' And then he said, 'Lord, I believe.' And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, 'For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind.' And then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, 'Are we blind also?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains.'" It seems that this section is just loaded with words and phrases. It's almost like you're out and you're watching this wonderful fireworks display against the night sky, and you have this grabbing your attention, and you have this grabbing your attention, and it's just a neat thing. One of those statements, by the way, was actually made by the Jews. Did you notice what they said in verse 32? Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. Well, they were on target in one regard, and that is that, yes, Jesus did stuff that was unheard of. He did the impossible. He did the extraordinary. He did the supernatural. He performed miracles. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He was Lord. He was the Messiah. He was the I Am. He was the light of the world. He was the resurrection and the life. He is. Yes. But in this particular passage of Scripture, we also have the man who is healed making some statements that are beautiful word displays for us to soak up as well. In verse 30, he said, "This is a marvelous thing." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes." I wonder, is that a part of our testimony? To speak of the Lord's doing, of His working in our lives as being marvelous and wonderful. You may think that you've never experienced a dramatic miracle. You know, this was pretty dramatic, wasn't it? Being born blind and then all at once having one's sight. Can you imagine looking around and seeing all the stuff you just had heard about previously, perhaps heard or smelled or felt or whatever, but suddenly you were seeing all these things. But you know what? Even though you may not have had that kind of physical healing, if you have experienced the love of God and the grace of God and the peace of God, then you have experienced that which is marvelous and wonderful. Now, a second statement made by this young man was, "He has opened my eyes." Verse 30. At this point, he didn't understand it all, but without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus had made it possible for him to see. It wasn't some specialist uptown. It wasn't some whomever that had... It was Jesus. It was... He made it possible for him to see. I wonder if John Newton was thinking about some of this when he wrote that hymn that's become a favorite to so many people. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Jesus was the light of the world, bringing not just healing of the body, but healing of the soul. The third significant statement was, "Lord, I believe." Lord, I believe. After all of this hullabaloo with the Pharisees and the Jews, Jesus sought this young fellow that he had healed, and this time he was making available spiritual healing. Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And this young fellow said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "It is he who is talking with you." Notice again verse 38, and then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. It just flows, it just comes. When we truly believe, we truly worship. So it was exciting for this young man to be able to look out of his eyes and see the world around him. But it was even more significant, was it not, for this fellow to be able to look through spiritual eyes and see Jesus as Savior and Lord. So I'm saying again, how wonderful it is, how marvelous it is for an individual to see the light of the world. Have you seen the light? Christ? Have you said, I believe, to Jesus? Have you become a worshiper of His? Lord, we thank You this morning for this account preserved in Scripture for us. Lord, it's awesome. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. The things that You have done and will do as we respond to Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that You would continue to be at work, to open our eyes, that we might behold truth, that we might behold Your saving grace, that we might behold and experience healing. Lord, continue to draw people unto Yourself and help us to be a worshiping community where folks would feel at home and blessed to be a part of. In Jesus' name, amen.